I got something I'm going to read this morning before we start out. It's called The Meanest Mother in the World. We had the meanest mother in the whole world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal, eggs, and toast. When others had Pepsi and Twinkies for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And you can guess our mother fixed us a dinner that was different from the other kids had too. Mother insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were convicts in a prison. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing with them. She insisted that if we said we were going to be gone for an hour, that we would be gone for an hour or less. We were ashamed to admit it, but she had the nerve to break the child labor laws by making us work. We had to wash the dishes, make beds, learn to cook, vacuum the floor, do laundry, and all sorts of cruel jobs. I think she would lie awake at night thinking of more things for us to do. She always insisted on telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. By the time we were teenagers, she could read our minds. Then life really got tough. Mother wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. They had to come up to the door so she could meet them. While everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait until we were 16. Because of our mother, we missed out on a lot of things other kids experienced. None of us have ever been caught shoplifting, vandalizing others' property, or ever arrested for any crime. It was all her fault. We never got drunk, took up smoking, stayed out all night, or a million other things. Other kids did. Sundays were reserved for church. We never missed once. We knew better than to ask to spend a night with a friend on Saturdays. Now that we have left home, we are all God-fearing, educated, honest adults. We are doing our best to be the mean parents, just like Mom was. And I think that's what's wrong with the world today. It just doesn't have enough mean moms. How many of you this morning can think back and now, in your older age, how thankful that you are looking back that your parents were strict and taught you right from wrong? Ain't it a blessing? Ain't it a blessing to have godly mothers this morning? I'm going to take my reading lesson this morning out of the first book of Samuel. Very familiar reading that most of us know the story. Story of a woman named Hannah. I'm going to start my reading in the 9th verse this morning. 9th verse, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Basically, he was watching her. He was reading her lips. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither drank wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial or evil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house, came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord a yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she was weaned, that she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my lord, as thy soul liveth, my lord, I am the woman that stood before thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also have I lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord, and he worship the Lord there." I'm going to stop my reading right there, and we can read on, and we can find out just exactly. And you'll start reading in the first verse of the second chapter. You can see how that Hannah was happy, how she rejoiced in her heart, and was happy that the Lord had blessed her with a child, and that it was just the greatest thing that could happen to her in her heart. And now that she was given a child, that she turned the child over to the Lord. In this Old Testament, we will, I guess, to make a little, give a little clarity to it, the priesthood was in a different place. And she literally took her child to the temple where the priests were. And the child stayed at the temple where the priests, not with the family, not at home. And we don't understand that these days or this time, but need to know that it was a big thing back, you know, something to do. She was given a child, and we can read prior to this that she couldn't have a child. And the Lord blessed her to be able to have one. And the Lord gave her a child, and then she gave it back to the Lord. She allowed the child to go be with the priest and be at the temple, and not even to live with her at home. So what a hard thing that would have been. But the thing of it was, if you read on, how happy and how much joy that it gave her, and how much more her life was blessed on down through the years, how the Lord if you read on, you can find how the Lord blessed that family and allowed her to have, I think, 3 more sons and 2 daughters. So this was a woman that was not able to have children. So we see how the Lord intervened in this and how that the Lord blessed. My thoughts this morning is, you know, I'm thinking about Mother's Day, and that was the reason that I read the things that I did at the opening. A little bit, I guess, a focus or a thought on godly mothers, those that love the Lord, those that, you know, I know there was a couple of times in my life when my mother had to turn me over to the Lord. There was a point in time in my life when I come under conviction that my mother could do nothing for me. My father couldn't do anything for me. She had to let go of me and trust in the Lord that He was going to save my son. No doubt she, just as Hannah did, poured out her heart. Many times on my behalf. Even after the Lord saved my soul. There was one time in my life where that she had to turn me over to the Lord because I got too big. I moved out of the house. I got married. Had my own family. And she had to turn me over to the Lord. There's no doubt that the mothers here today have had to do the same thing. The love has not stopped. But they had to do the same thing. There's something special about mothers and their children that can only be between a mother and a child. The things that we was looking at this morning, you know, the Bible tells us, and the Lord give it to us, that in His commandments, it says to honor thy father and thy mother. As a child, you know, sometimes we don't want to listen, do we? Or did we? I should say. I didn't want to listen many times when my mom and dad told me what I needed to do. But the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We can look over in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians in about the 12th verse, and we can find where that this was the first commandment that was given that, I can't quote it now. First commandment that was given with promise is the word I'm looking for. There was a promise that was attached to this commandment that if the children would obey their mother and father, that there would be good company. And that if they didn't, that they was bad. Going to come to them. Isn't that one of the, or in the beginning, as a mother and as a father, isn't that the first things that we have to teach our children? That there is right and that there is wrong, and that there is punishment for wrong and praise for right. These are very foundational things and very foundational thoughts, but they start from the very time that a child is brought into this world. That There's right and there's wrong, that there's punishment for bad and there's praise for good. In the commandments, this first commandment with promise that was given by God. What a blessing to know that God looks down at the families and He blesses those that love the Lord. Hannah loved the Lord. She wanted a child, but she loved the Lord so much that she was willing to give it up to Him. Mothers have to do the same thing far too many times. In times that we don't want to. We find over here in the book of Proverbs, and there's many good verses, and some of these things I may have said before or read before, but there's a lot of good things in the book of Proverbs for anybody to read. A lot of good teaching for the children and for anyone. In Proverbs 1 and 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Forsake it not. That means don't forget it. Don't put it out of your mind. Don't turn it away. Listen and do what they tell you to do. Over in the 8th chapter, in the 13th verse, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and a froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. Be my king by me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early find me." There's a lot of things that goes on that allows a child to know and understand about God. And as the child grows, they begin to know and understand a little bit about the fear of the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I had a mom and daddy that would put the fear of the Lord in you. When you done something that you wasn't supposed to do, and you knew that you wasn't supposed to do it, and did it anyway. There was some fear involved in that, wasn't there? Afraid you was going to get caught. Afraid of the consequences what was going to happen to you. Tracy and I was driving, when we was driving over to church this morning, there was somebody talking on the radio. And somebody wrote a book, and they was going to send you all this stuff about how to handle unruly children, you know, and how to teach them. And I, of course, I made a smart aleck comment. They send them a switch. You know, they're going to wrap them up a switch and they're going to send it to them. And, you know, and if that one breaks, we'll send you another. Bible tells us, spare the rod, spoil the child. It's a lot easier to neglect and not do the duties of a mother or a father. It's a lot easier not to punish, not to make your child go to church, not to make your child mind, not to teach your child what's right and wrong. It's a whole lot easier to turn an eye than to do what God's Word said and raise your child up. But I promise, even though the child might think that you might be the meanest mother or father while they're young, when they get old, I promise you that you'll be loved, and you'll be adored, and you'll be thanked, even long after you're gone, because your parents taught you right, and you understand it. better as you get older. As a child, I couldn't understand it at all. As a child, I was selfish. I wanted my way. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, and how I wanted to do it. And if somebody disagreed with it, they was wrong. It's just the way of a child. And far too much of that we see in the world today, where I'm afraid that children were not brought up that way, and they get up and they don't have any respect for their parents. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any respect for the world that they live in. Anything that's going on. And it's a very foundational thing. It's that started from the beginning. Just like in the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. If children mind to listen to their parents, then they're doing what God wants them to do. Because God has blessed the parents with those children. And it's the parents' responsibility to teach them and to do what's right. It's a something that we know as we get older, and hopefully all these boys and girls as they grow up, they're going to get saved and they're going to come to know the Lord, and they're going to answer to somebody else. You're not going to answer to mom and daddy anymore, are you? I'm in a state right now in my time in my life where, you know, I will listen to the counsel of my mother and father if they tell me something, but I ultimately answer to the Lord. And when I don't do something right, mom and daddy don't come take a switch after me now. If they find out about it, they might fuss at me. You know, if they don't approve or something. But the Lord now is the one, when we grow older, the Lord is the one who takes the switch to us, don't we? The Lord takes the switch to us. And the Bible teaches us these things. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find in the 5th verse, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not now thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore you are partakers, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we are fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but now he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." We that have been saved by God's grace, right now are directed and chastened and blessed by the Lord. I believe just like from the very beginning when we was a child, when our mother patted us on the back and told us that we did a good job when we did something right, and how that she patted us on the behind when we did something wrong and she chastened us, the Lord looks down today in the very same way in our lives, even as adults, and he looks down upon us and he blesses us and he helps us when we do right. And he chastens us when we do wrong. No, he's not there in a physical presence, but I promise you, and I'd venture to say most each and every one of us that are here today have felt that chastening hand at one time or another. Myself, far too many times, seen. And when the Lord gets a hold of you, he can make You know, a whipping from mom and dad, yet those little stings and those little pops, they go away pretty quick. You know, they might disappear. Lord gets a hold of you. It can mess up your sleep patterns. It can mess up your days and your nights until we get things right with the Lord. That's how we think about these things, and they're simple, but there's a lot to it. It means a lot. It's important. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, I can't quote that either. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know, as most of you that are parents today, as we look, I think about Brent, Sister Brenda mentioned him getting back to church. So many more that's been mentioned in the time that I've been here, family members and friends that's out of church. Well, the Bible says here, train them up in the way that they should go. That's a parent's responsibility. From the very beginning, training. There's a training process. Right and wrong, good and bad, punishment and praise. It takes far more effort to be a mother or a father than it does to be a friend. To be a buddy, to be a pal. Takes a lot more effort. And it's a whole lot harder sometimes. But when those foundational things have been laid in the life of that child, it will fall on them through their life. It'll take them all the way through life. And just like in this reading, now that we've left home, we're all God-fearing, educated, honest adults. Isn't that what parents want to see out of their children? Absolutely. Don't we all want the best for our kids? Don't God want the best for His people, for His children? His Bible refers to us that have been saved by His grace. We're His children. When we follow and do what God wants us to do, when we listen, we are blessed. We're blessed people. We're blessed. But Terry brought a point out this morning. We may not be blessed with a mansion on a hill and all this mess, a lot of money, but the godly blessing, the things that count, that matter, the things of the heart, the joys of life that this world cannot bring because it comes from God, those are the blessings that matter. Those are the things that count. Those are the things that the world can't see, that a child can't see, that only God can show them that if they will follow and do right as they grow up in their life and the Lord blessing them, they can look back. I promise they'll be able to look back when they get older. And all these children that are here will be able to look back when you go. These kids are going to be engaged in battles all through their life. They're looking to you right now as you're engaged in the battles of life, and they're seeing how you handle these battles, how you handle every situation that goes on. And most likely, how you handle these things is how they're going to handle them when they grow up. So if you get up on Sunday morning and you say, I got to be in church because it's the Lord's Day, hopefully one of these days, these children, when they grow up, they're going to say, I got to be in church because it's the Lord's Day. It's what I'm supposed to do. Hopefully they look and see Mom and Daddy was honest and they love the Lord. So when they grow up, that they will strive to be honest and love the Lord. Honesty is a big thing that you don't hear much about anymore. And it encompasses the big things. Not lying and not stealing. Honesty is important. It's important that they see it in the lives of their mothers and their fathers and in their church members. That it have an effect upon them, that long-lasting effect, that even when they're old, it's still right here and right here. They can call back to it and they can remember. They can remember those good old days when they acted up and Daddy took a switch to them. I got to thinking about it this morning. You know, Mama didn't whip too hard. I didn't tell her that, but she didn't whip too hard. But if the foolishness continued on, she'd get Daddy involved. And that's where it stopped. I guess I'll say it's the bookshop right there. She cared enough about me several times to get Daddy involved. Those things stuck with me in my life. They stuck with me. Yeah, my backside might have been sore at the time, and I might have just been... My attitude might have been bad and everything else. Not all of us been bad. But I can look back now and I can say I'm thankful that they did that. I can look back now and say, oh Lord, where would I have been in my life today? What would I have been out in this world and got into and done and I've not been taught? What was right and what was wrong? You can be a child that has been saved by God's grace and you can still go out and you can get yourself into trouble and you can bring hardship on your life and on your family. It ain't worth it. I promise you it ain't worth it. There's scripture that backs this up. I don't know if I wrote that verse down or not, but you know, we live in a time and a day, and like I said, there's so many things that's going on in this world today that we live in. It's important for you children. You know, today in this time, in the U.S., at least 8 million assaults on parents by children today. In this, the time that we live in today, there's at least 8 million assaults to the parents now from the children. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, selfish. What did I say? Children have to be taught to share and to love and to care about others. You have to teach your child to care about other people, to love other people. They're selfish. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We live in a world today that is so important. So important that as a parent, as a church, as a people, that we raise and teach them right the ways of God. That's the only way that it'll work. The only way. I know there's a lot of books and self-helps and there's a lot of stuff out there today. This right here is the one that works. Works every time. It has never failed and never will fail. So if you follow this, it'll be good. That's my message today. God bless you all. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. Nothing else on anyone's heart. I'll stand in and we'll be dismissed. Okay, this will be a business meeting after the service today, so if you can, please stay. Let's hear this service.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you, Lord, for this message that we've heard. We ask you, Lord, to help us take it home with us and ponder it in our hearts, Lord, that it might have its effect. We'd ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and give us guidance and strength. Lord, we'd ask you to send the one this way that would be pastor of our church. And give us a burden, Lord, to seek thy will, to do what you'd have us to do. We'd ask you, Lord, to bring conviction upon the lost of all. Lord, to give us a burden for the lost. We might pray about them. Ask you, Lord, to hear the many prayer requests that's been made today for the very sick people that have worked this way. Lord, we'd ask you to watch over us and take care of us and be with us. Lord, we'd ask you to give us what we need to make it through this life. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, and be with us today. Amen.
I'm talking about